Amen. Thank you, men. Thank you always. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Good to see all of you tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the challenges that we've had to face, and we've learned from your word that we must rejoice in our troubles. And so tonight, Lord, our church, as we gather here, all kinds of needs and struggles and prayer requests and health and family and all the rest. So we present all of that to you. And Lord, we pray that you would bless all of the people who have come on this campus tonight. We pray every week for our students, and we pray for those who are with our in the choir and all of our other Bible studies that go on. As we seek to learn more and understand and worship and do what you would have us to do as a church. And we thank you for the way that you lead us by your Holy Spirit. So here we are, Lord, in this room. And tonight, Lord, we seek to understand better our thoughts and how to focus our thinking and our minds and bring our thoughts to Jesus. And so, Lord, some of us are absolutely tortured by our thoughts, and we have been for many years, and we pray, Lord, I pray that tonight would be a way out for some who are here who cannot escape troubled and difficult and sinful thoughts. And I pray that you might help us learn from your word how to have a spiritual mind, and how to have a spiritual mind when we go to work, and how to have a spiritual mind when we're at home, and how to have a spiritual mind when we're alone, and how to live in victory, allowing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the truths of your Word and the wisdom you give us to guide our thinking. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us tonight, and that you would help us to be focused even from all that's happened in our day. I know these dear people have come from all kinds of situations today, hard days at work and struggles and pressures and family and health and all the rest. So here we are, we bring it all, and we bring it before you, and we know you understand where we are, you understand our weaknesses and our frailties, but you help us and you give us your power. So teach us tonight from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, Doc's got some outlines. If you need one, raise your hand. Okay, you got some back there at the back? All right, so if you need an outline, raise your hand, and we'll get it to you. And good to see all of you tonight. I'd like for you to go back with me. We talked last week about planning. We talked about making plans. And so I'd like for you to go back to Proverbs 16, and I want us to look tonight again at verse number 9. I had a lot of discussion with, and I'm always grateful when we can do it, had a lot of discussion. We had several of us afterwards last week talking about the mind, and you were anticipating where I wanted to go tonight with the second part of this. You remember in Proverbs 16:9, the mind of a man or woman plans. Remember, that's that. We talked about the Hebrew word is the idea of arranging, preparing. It is the mind sorts, organizes, and puts together these thoughts. The mind prepares, and then plans come, and then they're executed our way. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So I want you to see the very clear order in the Proverbs. You know, all of God's word, there's no mistaking to the order of words. And as we learn to study our Bibles, we learn about the order of words. So here's an example. Notice the mind. Now sometimes we'll see tonight that this Hebrew word that's used for mind here is sometimes translated heart. It's interchangeable. The mind of a man, notice, plans his way. So I want to start by reminding us of what the book of Proverbs describes as our soul. It is our mind and our will and our emotions. So with that in mind, with that passage in mind, I've also put for you on the sheet here, let's go to the first slide, and I want you to see Proverbs 23:7. For as a person thinks within himself, so is he. In fact, let's go over to Proverbs 23 and see the context here. While you're turning there, so as your pastor, okay, if you were going to sit in a room with me and say, Pastor Mike, in all your years of talking with people about spiritual issues, and I've done it a long time, what would you consider to be the most significant, frequent, ongoing, recurring discussion? You know what it's about? Thoughts. The mind. The way we think. Why we can't overcome certain thoughts. Why we can't. So this, what I'm trying to give you tonight is as close as I can to some steps, some practical steps for you to use and for me to use in our mind. By the way, you're older today than you've ever been. And what you did for your mind yesterday is not for tomorrow. You see, this is the thing we have to learn about following Jesus. I'm going to get back to this, but I have to give you this comment as we start. See, we have to renew ourselves every day, folks. You know, people talk to me sometimes, why did that preacher get in trouble? Why did he do X? Why did he go off the deep end? Why did he? You have to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ every day, all through the day. It's a daily thing. Yes, we're born again. But in order to have victory in our life, this is a daily matter. This is learning how to walk with God and how to trust the Holy Spirit. So why do people stray off and go off? Why do they lose their way? Why do they get bitter? Why do they get angry? Now listen, as a person thinks within himself, so is he. So in the context of Proverbs 23:7, there's a word of warning about who you go eat with. Verse 6. See, the Proverbs are practical. Who you go eat with. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man. Now, that's for a whole nother night. You might not even need to eat your own bread, by the way. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man, look, or desire his delicacies. Now notice, the context here is, for he, the selfish man, for as he thinks within himself, so is he, and he says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. See, he's all about himself, not about you. He may say that he's about you, but he's not. He's a selfish man. The point I want you to see is in the context of this warning about associations, the proverb is saying to us a very important principle about our insides. As he thinks, and if you your Bible may have a note, as he reckons or considers, this is a mental, there's a process going on in his mind. As he thinks within himself, so is he. Now I'd like for you to take your Bible and go to two very important verses in Matthew, because the Lord Jesus talks about this, and we do not want to go very far without understanding the Lord Jesus' words, red letter words, about our thoughts. So the first is found in Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus is reminding us that words are coming from something on the inside. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruits. Notice tree, fruit, the external shows you what's on the inside of a tree. An orange tree doesn't look like a cherry tree. It's an orange tree. The fruit tells you what the design of God in the making of the tree. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, Notice on the inside, speak what is good. And then he says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Now, Jesus is using the word heart just like we're using it here tonight. The Hebrew mind, is to understand that the heart is my mind, I put it here on your paper, mind, will, and emotions. So when you read the word in the New Testament heart, or when you read it in the Old Testament, Jesus is speaking in the same way. So notice, out of the mouth speaks out of that which fills. That's a very important word. Fills the heart. For the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Then if you'll quickly look at Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. They were having a discussion about traditions and commandments and the foods you can eat and all the rest. And Peter is asking about the parable that Jesus has just told. And Jesus said, are you still lacking understanding? Verse 16, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? He gives a biological lesson. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from mind, will, emotions. And those defile the man. For out of the mind, will, and emotions, the heart, come evil thoughts. And then notice how thoughts lead to actions. Murders, adulteries, fornication, other kinds of sexual sin, thefts, false witness, slanderers. And this is not an it's not a complete list. Jesus is trying to remind us, these are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. And Jesus was not talking about general hygiene here. You do need to wash your hands, and I do too. Remember, he's talking about ceremonial washing in order to be clean, and this was the big challenge because the Pharisees said, you don't wash your hands ceremonially, nor do your disciples. You're not spiritual. So that's the context, but let's don't miss it now. Now, at the bottom of this sheet, I've made a note here, and this is very important. So listen, you got to stay with me tonight. I'm trying to be as pastoral as I can. Pastor Mike, why do I do what I do? Well, I do what I do because of what I am on the inside. I do what I do because of what I am on the inside. When someone's not born again, we've learned that the Bible says their spirit isn't even alive. They're dead in their sin. But they still got a mind, will, and emotions. And Paul helps us a lot with this to learn that a dead spiritual man is going to live a wild, self-centered, flesh-centered, sin-centered, rebellious life. And that's why I wrote here, our spirit and soul control our body. That's what Proverbs 16:9 is trying to help us all understand, church. The mind of man plans his way. My way doesn't get built until I have, on the inside, been guided by my mind, will, and emotions. The condition of our spirit and our soul controls our actions. So let me make some general comments while I'm on this page. First, while I've been talking for the last 5 minutes, you may think it's been an hour. What are you thinking about? Going to bed? Wish I'd hurry up and get over with this. I like what the old preacher said. It's better to be fully asleep than half awake. Think about that. What are you thinking about tonight? When you come to church and you go to worship, what are you thinking about? It's really an important question. So in both our public time together as God's people and in our private time, what are you thinking about? You see, our thoughts have some things to say to us about the condition of our spiritual life. I like what one old preacher said. One sign of how we can know what is ruling in our mind, the flesh or the spirit, are the thoughts that interrupt you in prayer and Bible study. Now let me get more specific. So when you go to prayer and you are making every effort to pray and to read your Bible, what thoughts come in and try to take away, pull you away from your duty that you are engaged in? That's a very important question, and you must know what those thoughts are. I'm talking about senior adults here, young adults, teenagers, anybody. Anybody who participates in spiritual exercises. You don't ever get too wise to not hear what I'm saying to you tonight. Because everybody in here, you're thinking all new thoughts today that you didn't think yesterday. Why are you thinking them? What's the source of those thoughts? So when you begin to see a pattern of thoughts invading, distracting you. Some people come to church and they really want to come to church, but they can't even hear the preacher or the teacher. They hear words and they hear the noise and they see the person, but their mind is all off somewhere else. There's not even enough discipline to hear. They're not even able to hear. This is why Jesus said they hear and they do not hear. And they see and they do not see. The sins to which we are most addicted will control your thoughts. The sins to which you are most addicted will control your thoughts. So in all of these verses tonight, I've tried to give you the verse to say heart and mind, but actually remember, it's mind, will, and emotions. How do you cut up an onion? You can't. You know, this, all of what's inside of us that the Word of God teaches us about our mind, will, emotions, our conscience, our intuition, all of these things are a part of who we are on the inside in this amazing way that God made us. Well, it's hard to cut all that out. You see, we're all engineers, and we like it all cut up nice and clean, and it's just not that way in the Word of God. So I'm talking about something that happens on the inside of you. And it's the way you live. It's the way I live. We all think in one way or another. And if you overcome sinful thinking, you have victory in Jesus. Because you think in a new way. You think new thoughts. If you're still thinking thoughts you've been thinking for 20 years that have destroyed your life or caused you to be bitter or caused you to be angry, friend, you need revival. You need to change your thinking. And that's what this is about. All right. So with that introduction, let's go to the first very important principle, Proverbs 15:11. What does the Bible say? Sheol, which is the Old Testament description of the place of death. Sheol and Abaddon, which is the place of judgment, lie open before the Lord. How much more the minds of men. Tonight, God knows your thoughts and mine. He knows our thoughts. So this is where we begin in coming to understand and deal with our thoughts. Chapter 17, verse number 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the mind. So these challenges come in our life. We talked about it Sunday about rejoicing in our troubles. That's a commitment mentally to rejoice when you should be sad. We said, the Bible tells us, don't be sad, be glad when you have trouble. Because the Lord takes all of this that happens in our life, good and bad, He brings it all together for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose to make us more like Jesus. So He does bring in our life tests. He tests your mind. Some of you feel the great pressure of a test in your life. It's a hard one. It's a difficult one. You are feeling the pressure of the test. The Lord tests our minds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I have to remind you of this because it's very important to get, I'm trying to blend this together so that you have both an Old Testament and New Testament, at least an introduction to these things about the thoughts that we have. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul talks about, he talks about the natural man, he talks about the spiritual man or woman, and then he talks about the carnal, the fleshly man or woman in these verses. He says of the person, now the natural man is describing a person who does not know Jesus, who is not born again. The natural man or person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are, notice it's a mind word, foolishness to him. And he, another mind word, he cannot understand them. We've been talking in the book of Proverbs about wisdom and knowledge leads to understanding, and understanding leads to wisdom. That's the path in the book of Proverbs of how we grow and gain wisdom, the wisdom of God for life. But the person who does not know Jesus cannot comprehend, not because they don't have the mental capacity, not because they're not smart enough. These things are spiritual that we talk about. They don't mean anything. This is just, my talking tonight is gobbledygook. It's, I might as well be speaking, you know, French, because it makes no sense to the person who does not know Jesus. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for their foolishness. He cannot understand them because, please notice the last phrase, this is very important, they are spiritually examined. They are spiritually examined. That is such an important word. So when you come to think about your thoughts, you must examine. Listen, as a spiritual person, you have a responsibility to work with the Holy Spirit to examine your thinking. That's what we want to talk about tonight. In Psalm 44:21, God knows the secrets of the heart. And then this amazing verse, in these amazing statements by Paul in Hebrews chapter 4 are incredible, because they remind us of what happens when you open your Bible and when you stand before the Lord Jesus. You see, here we recognize tonight that we serve a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three gods, one God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when you read in Hebrews 4, verse number 12, the Word of God is living and active. First, that describes these words. But it also, these words, this passage describes, this is one of those magnificent passages that has two sides to it. I not only, when I stand before God, like we're doing tonight, open the living Word of God, the words of God, but the Word of God, Jesus Christ, remember, He is God's Word. He expressed God's words to the world. We call them the red letter words. He is the Word of God. So you must remember, here's the mystery of what happens when you study your Bible. You are in the presence of the Lord Jesus, who sees you, and you also are opening the Bible, and you know what it does? It exposes you. It's like a mirror. It starts showing you the imperfections and the things in your thinking that aren't right, and in your life and in your actions. And all of a sudden, you have this experience with God's Word, and the Word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Look at this, please, in your Bible. Verse 12. The Word of God divides between, and this is a very hard thing to describe, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit, which came alive when you were born again in Jesus. Both to the joints and marrow. And the Word of God is able to judge. Please notice this. Here are the words. The thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, the Lord Jesus. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him, capital H, the Lord Jesus, with whom we have to do. So I come to you tonight, and we open this blessed, wonderful Word, this living, powerful Word, with these living, sacred, holy words. And they start to do their work on me, and I'm in the presence of Jesus, who also is looking at me on the inside, and you too. We also have the reminder, and I didn't give you the verse, but I'll quote it to you from Psalm 139, which is another marvelous passage, and I'll give this to you as a part of the exercise I'm going to give you at the end to use these words. Psalm 139, you might want to write it down if you're taking notes. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my mind, my heart, my mind, will, and emotion. Search me, Lord. Look at my mind, what I'm thinking about. Look at my will, what I desire and want to do. And look at my emotions, how I feel. Search me. Try me and know, test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me. See, it starts there. The hurtful thing starts on the inside in my thoughts. And lead me in the everlasting way. This is such an important thing. Now, let's go to the next slide, guarding our thoughts. Now, before I get into this, let me say a couple things that are very important. So as a pastor, anytime when I'm speaking with people about their thoughts privately and we're visiting about this and talking about it, first of all, I must say to you, and this is very important, there can be physical reasons for mental challenges. In the United States of America, mental health challenges in many people's life is a very real thing. The church doesn't always pay attention to this. This is very important. People live with physical issues that affect their mind. And as God's people, we need to come to appreciate that and help those who struggle with mental illness. Not separate ourselves from them, but understand their needs. So the first thing I want to say to you before we get into this and talk about how you feel and how your thoughts are going, you must first, if you are concerned about serious emotional, mental thinking and things that are very, very dangerous, that you know you're worried about them, you need to speak to your doctor about them. It's very important that you do that. What I'm trying to talk about is the spiritual development of our mind when we are healthy and able to do that, and we do not have a challenge physically. Listen, if you know someone who has that challenge, they're going to live in shame and in the darkness. They don't want anybody to think that there's anything wrong with them. We must help them. We must help them as best they will allow us to help them. So there are causes, and I'm going to give you some. I want to ask you to write these. I want you to write down on the side of your paper there, if you are taking notes, on guarding your thoughts. We move from God knows our thoughts, secondly, to we must guard our thoughts by recognizing the natural mind within us, all right? Being born again doesn't remove the old sinful nature in our lives. We still have the old, Paul calls it the old man. The old sinful nature is still inside of Pastor Mike, along with the new nature when I'm born again. But I now have a challenge and I must understand it. Now, I want you to write down these questions to ask yourself in the future, because we're going to go back and use Proverbs 4:23 as our guide, and you've heard this verse many times, and we go to it a lot because it is a key principle. Watch your heart. Watch over your heart. Let's change it. Watch over your mind, will, and emotions. That's your responsibility and mine. I can't watch your heart because I don't know what's inside of you. You can't watch mine because you're not inside of me. Watch, Proverbs 4:23, over your heart with all diligence. And we know that word from our studies in Proverbs over the past years. Diligence means carefully, scrutinizing with detail. Pay attention to what's in your heart. And that's what I'm going to go and give you some steps to do that. And notice what it says. For from your heart, same thing as the Lord Jesus said to us, right? From your heart flow the issues of life. So when we come to this, it's important for us to ask these questions. Number one, what fills my mind? Okay, so just write this out beside. If we're going to watch and guard our heart, you have to ask yourself some questions regularly. And by the way, you should ask yourself these every day. You're older than you are, than you've ever been today. But yesterday was yesterday. You know, the Lord's graced us and we may finish this day. If you have another day tomorrow, the question is, when you wake up in the morning, what's filling your mind? I'm talking about filling it. See, it's the picture in the Bible is that the mind is like a container. It fills up. Jesus used that word abundance of the heart. It's this thing, it fills up. And what you think about affects what you decide to do and how you feel. And then what you actually go out and do. Number one, what fills your mind? Number two, what occupies your mind? There are some things that have such a strong control over people's minds, they cannot shake it. They can if they know Jesus, but they'll say to me, I'm controlled by this thing, this thought or series of thoughts. Third, what do your eyes see? In other words, what are you looking at with your eyes? Now, this is very important because this is the relationship of the body's senses to affecting your mind. You know, if I look at certain things long enough that are not honorable to God, it will affect the way I think. What do you look at? And then the last one is, what do you listen to? Because again, this is, our body is connected. We are, may the Lord sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. Remember we talked about that when we preached on reset. We pray that God will completely change us, starting on in the spirit, go into our soul, and then into our body. But look, it goes the other way. When I'm out in the world today, you heard a whole lot of stuff today. Sometimes you hear things about your fellow church members. Sometimes you see things with your fellow church members. What you see, what you hear, and what you think all go together. So in guarding our thoughts, here's my point about this. We just don't spend a lot of time as American Christians. We think it's silly when preachers get up and preach and fuss and carry on about separating ourselves from watching TV. We just think that they're antiquated, old, they don't understand, they're not in the modern world, they don't get it. Well, I say to you all the time, how much news do you really need to hear? Because when I talk with some of our people, they're troubled by what they're listening to, not this. But what they keep hearing from Tom Brokaw, is he one, Tom Brokaw, is he a news broadcaster? I don't even watch, is he one? No, he's retired, isn't he? Yeah. Or what you listen to in the way of music, or what you look at when you go to the movies, or let's just talk about it, what you look at on your computer. We are overwhelmed with all of this stimulus to our mind, affecting our mind from what our eyes see, what our ears hear, and it's affecting the way you think. That's what I must say to you as your pastor. It affects the way you think. I can't think spiritual thoughts. Right. If you don't turn that phone off, and if you don't determine there's going to be a certain amount of time in your day where you're in a no-phone zone. Oh, Pastor Mike, I got a job to do. There's lots of, you know, here's what I just want to say this to you. I'm old enough to say it. Did you know that I was able to get phone calls and messages before I had a cell phone? Can you believe that? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I got to look at my phone. What am I going to do? What will I do if I don't have this phone? You'll not have your phone. Our minds are driven. Our minds are driven away. Why would I spend time on this? I'm your pastor. And all of these things affect our minds. So we have to ask, what's filling my mind? What do you keep filling your mind up with? If I listen long enough to people criticizing somebody, I'm going to probably go, you know, they probably are right. That old fella is a rascal. That gal, yeah, you know that's probably right. Well, how do you know? There's two sides to every story. How do you know? And by the way, when did the Lord ever put me in charge of that, right? I got enough to work on with me. I like what Thomas Aquinas said. You know, you should not be angry with another person because they will not change, because you can't change yourself. So why be angry with them? That goes for your kids, your grandkids, and your fellow church members. And oh, by the way, the people you work with. Aren't they a piece of work? Some of them think that about you. I'm not drifting. I'm trying to get you ready here. I cannot talk to you about gaining control of your thoughts if you do not limit the sensory input that you put. We are bombarded and overwhelmed with too much data, too much information. It's one of the funniest things in the world. Some of those who design the devices in the world, who live on the West Coast, there's several of them that go to a church that's out there. They love the Lord and they're living out there. You know what? They don't allow their children to have any phones, any devices until they're older, in their teenage years. I'm talking about people who make all this stuff. You need to think about it. Now we come to the qualities of the natural mind. We'll move quickly through these. Just take your Bible and notice. And I want you to write on the side of this sheet about, I put it at the bottom, the danger of a passive or an empty mind. I'm not picking now. I'm pleased not, but I'm just going to make an observation because I'm old and I've observed it among children. Have you ever watched children play video games? If you haven't, you need to do it. Some of them are your grandkids and your great-grandkids. What happens to their mind when they play those games? You just need to ask the question. I'm not going to go into a seminar on it. I'm just going to bring it up. Because the danger of a passive, or I would call idle mind, or an empty mind, extremely dangerous when you come to dealing with having a spiritual mind. Do you have a passive mind? Oh, Pastor Mike, here's what somebody said to me. I just don't want to think about anything. Well, wait a minute. You don't want to say that. You don't want to have an empty mind. I promise you. The Word of God never teaches us to have an empty mind. There are false religions that tell you to empty your mind. That's a false doctrine. It is the worst place to be, is to empty your mind, because something will fill it. And I promise you, the evil one understands an empty mind, a passive mind. So watch the addiction. It's almost like a drug from these devices and these modern technologies. They control. And they make the mind passive. You say, Pastor Mike, you're just way off in the weeds tonight. You need to go and get some sleep. I'm just trying to be your pastor. Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the heart of a fool, the mind of a fool is not so. So we have foolish minds. Proverbs 11:20. Proverbs 11:20. The perverse, or the perverted in mind, are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is proud in mind is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12:25. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety or worry in a man's heart, in a man's mind, weighs it down. And then you read the next point. Heaviness in mind is because of worry. Bitterness. Verse 10. The mind knows its own bitterness. This is why you must pay attention to what you're thinking about. Before I'm ever angry with somebody, I'm bitter on the inside. I'm bitter. Bitter, it's a good English word. Think about something that's really bitter when you taste it. Think about that in your mind. And then anger. Interesting that the book of Proverbs says to us, 19:3, the foolishness of man ruins his way. Please look at this. And his mind rages against the Lord. His mind rages against God. I am not submitting to God. I'm not listening to God. I'm not changing my ways. I'm in charge. And so the flesh drives us. So you must pay attention and ask yourself, is my mind passive? Is my mind empty? Is my mind driven by self-centeredness? Is my mind driven by sinful thoughts and fantasies that do not help you accomplish the purposes of God? This is guarding your heart. Nobody can do this for you. If you want victory in Jesus, you have to watch your heart. And then we come to the qualities of the spiritual mind. We must guard our thoughts by recognizing the spiritual mind given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now here's the wonderful good news. God, and I gave you this string of verses because if you don't hear anything else, you know what? You and I, as people who've been brought back to life by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you know what He's given you? An active mind. An active mind. Look at these verses that describe an active mind. Proverbs 2:2. Make your ear attentive to my wisdom. Incline your mind to understanding. Verse number 10, for wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, to your mind, will, and emotions. Chapter 3, verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them. Why do we memorize Scripture? Why do we think about spiritual thoughts? We're writing them on the tablet of your heart. You don't need a tablet device to hold in your hands. You have one inside. What's being written on the tablet of your mind? The Word of God teaches us, this is why we talk about Scripture memory. That's not for boys and girls and RAs. That's to teach them how to do this all of their life. Where does it go in our church? We have much to learn. Verse number 6. You know, we memorize the Word of God to be able to live in victory. If you and I understood the absolute necessity of memorizing and meditating on the Word of God to have a spiritual life and overcome sin, we would not have to twist everybody's arm to learn God's Word. How do you write God's Word on your heart? Well, I just hear the preacher talk about it. No. Never work. These are intentional verses that describe what we must do. Let me read just a couple more. 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your paths straight. Notice, in all your ways acknowledge. Mental word. In chapter 6, verse 21, this is a great verse for us to think about. Bind them on your heart. My son, observe the commandments of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Verse 20. Bind them. Tie them continually. How often? When mom and dad told me, when the Bible, when somebody taught me this when I was a kid? No, all the time. I keep it tied onto me because you know what? The old person inside of me wants to untie all of these things about God's Word and go back. Bind them continually on your mind. Tie them around your neck. It's not literal. I hope you see what he's trying to describe here. The neck keeps you from turning and looking at things you ought not look at, by the way. Tie them. Bind them. So you have the idea here. Alertness. Watch your heart. Joy. Chapter 15, verse 13. You can look at these others. Righteousness, wisdom, peace. All of these describe the way you want your mind to be. Look, here's the thing. Jesus talked about watching and praying under the one that says alert. Why would Jesus say that? Watch and pray. It's because of what I've said to you a number of times. When you get before the Lord to pray, you must practice watching what you're thinking about. So we all read our devotion together. We read a chapter every week together as a church. We all know how to compartmentalize and read words. We read the words and they have absolutely no meaning. And we read it. Bless God, I read it. Don't want Brother Mike to fuss at me for not reading the reading. Wait a minute. We read to hear, to live, to eat spiritually. So when you think about your spiritual mind, you must think about this challenge. So how do we do it? Here we go. I've got 4 minutes to give you this. Number one. Oh, I know you're going to just hate this. This is going to take time. I don't have any time. Well, you might have to get up earlier. And before you turn on the noise box, before you pull open that device. By the way, you know the weather, they're going to tell you about the weather all day. I've got to check my phone. Why? Just leave it off for a while. Well, Pastor Mike, you're a preacher. You don't even work for a living. I mean, you're in a bubble. You don't have to do anything. You don't do anything. We have real jobs. We have a life. I mean, you know, you're up there telling us all this. I'm just trying to help. Just trying to help. So it's going to take time for you to do this. I'm sorry, but this is what you have to do. Remember, God knows your thoughts. I would make a note to the side of your paper and just pray these words when you get up in the morning and sit down before the Lord. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know what's inside of me. Test me and see if there's any false way in me. All right, that's where you start. You don't start with your Bible open. First, you remember this. Here I am sitting before the Lord, which means literally he sees me, he knows me, he knows what's inside. Then ask yourself these questions. By the way, 1 Peter 1:13, I didn't put it on your paper, but if you read 1 Peter 1:13, here's what he says. Prepare your mind for action. The King James says, gird up the loins of your mind. Well, we don't really talk that way anymore. The idea is prepare yourself for what you have to do. So here's the way you do it. Ask yourself, try this tomorrow. What am I thinking about? Now, this is in the morning when you get up. Here's what people say to me. Pastor Mike, I want to read my Bible, but I've got all these thoughts flying around in my mind. Okay, ask yourself this question. What are you thinking about? List them. I have a little sheet of paper, and I list them on the paper. Some of them, I'm not proud of them. As your pastor, I'm just going to tell you. But as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I list them. Why am I how do I feel? What am I feeling today? What am I desiring today? And I have to tell you, many times I have that list. Now, I tear it up, by the way. I record it and I confess it because I believe you cannot come and hear from the Lord when you have sin in your life. And so I confess my sin as best I can and my thoughts, and I present this all to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm confessing my sin, and I tear the paper up. Next, present your mind and body to God. Romans chapter 12, we've read it many, many times, many, many times, where Paul reminds us of this important principle that we're talking about here tonight. Therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God, present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Every day you bring you, all of you, and you say to the Lord, here I am. Here I am. This is before you're doing your Bible reading. By the way, verse 2, do not be conformed to the world, listen, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what I'm trying to talk to us about. You renew your mind all the time. You renew your mind. An active mind focused on the Word of God. Thinking to spiritual thoughts. Associating with spiritual people who want to talk about things. Separating yourself from those things that will detract you from following Jesus. Certain people. Certain attitudes. Certain things on the television. Then you ask God to renew your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can read it. Then you ask yourself, when you finish your time in God's Word, then you go into God's Word. You read your reading for the day that we have. Then here's what you do. You finish by saying, how do I think? How am I thinking now? Has it changed from the way I started? How do I feel now? See, this is what happens. This is what's interesting here. We study the Bible a lot in our church, but if it doesn't affect the thinking of people to change their lives to holiness of living, then we've just studied it like a book in school. And that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to have school for scholastic, academic purposes. We're here to be changed by the words we read. And then finally for the day, we submit ourselves to God for the day. Romans chapter 6, we read it over and over the other week. Present your body possessed by God as an instrument for Him to use. All right? So you're going to go to work. You're God's instrument where you go to work. I'm not going to be there. Obviously, you know, like you all said, I mean, I don't even work. Y'all are the ones that are out there working. So when you go work, you're the instrument of God. You're the only one there. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. You go with a renewed mind. You go with a purpose to say, all right, today I have this certain business meeting, and I have to be with these certain people. Lord, how do I go today, and what do I do? I have to deal with this family situation. I have to deal with this person. Again, whatever it is, we meet God and we talk to Him. Finally, as we close, and I'm 2 minutes over and I'll be through, you need to write this verse down and go home and think about it and read it. You see, what we're doing, folks, is pulling down arguments that get put in our minds. You see, there is, and I didn't talk much about it tonight, there are three sources of thoughts that come into our minds. Thoughts that come from God and from the Holy Spirit. Thoughts that come from my flesh and my old nature, and thoughts that come from the evil one. We do not understand, nor does the Bible explain to us why, how God has permitted that the evil one could attack us at the point of thoughts, but He does. In fact, that's why James said in James 4, draw near to God. And then the next verse, this is, you know, James 4:3-4, draw near to God. And then you know what the next verse says? Resist the devil. So you see, it takes some self-discipline to do this. So you finish by doing this, verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God. So you're going to be reading your Bible and saying, I need to love this person. And all of a sudden, thoughts are going to come in your mind. Why? Do you know what that person's done? How they've treated me? What they have said? How they have... wait a minute. It's time to pull that thought down. It's time to bring that kind of rebellious, wicked thought under submission, here it is in the verse, to Jesus. We are destroying speculations in every thought. You're going to have them in your thinking, and they're going to be opposed to God's way of thinking. That's raised up against the knowledge of God. You're reading the Bible to gain God's knowledge. And notice what it says. We are taking every thought captive to Jesus. So I imagine it this way in my time with the Lord. I've got a bunch of prisoners I'm bringing to Jesus. Here's all of this bunch of thoughts. And I'm not proud of them all. But I can't do anything with them. So I'm bringing them to Jesus. Amen? I hope this helps you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. A lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May we truly think tonight about what it is that fills our mind. Oh, Lord, for so many of us, we are terrorized. We are broken. We are heavy. We are just passive. We let whatever comes into our mind control us. We do not stand and bring our thoughts captive. We do not watch our thoughts. We don't even consider this with our dear children and our grandchildren, how they're influenced and overwhelmed by thoughts and words. And I pray that You might give us wisdom to know how to overcome. It is Your plan and purpose for us to overcome. So tonight, we again are reminded of what You've said to us in Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So help us, Lord, to bring our thoughts, our emotions, our will to You, and You show us the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Great to see you. See you Sunday.